world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And welcome back here, our final hour on this Thursday night. And I promised that I would get a picture from Ossian Brown's Haunted Air up on our homepage, and I will, but I've been inundated with every other manner of business to do. So haven't done it, but it will be in the next break, I swear to you. Lots of ways of I'll tell you one thing that we do have in this country and in this world is more ways of communicating. And I got into this discussion with my very close personal friend, Lawrence Ross. Call him Larry if you want. Larry does, or Lawrence does, you know, This Day in History.
Yes, I like that. He does the This Day in Show History.
Yeah, This Day in Show History on our fan page, facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. Anyway, he has a radio show, and I was talking to them, Larry and his partners, and they were saying, well, you know, we have an RSS feed, and you can find us on iTunes, and we also have this way of getting over here, and we're in the podcast directory. And I said, all of that is great, and that's a fantastic way for people to find you. That's a fantastic way for people to find you. There's just one problem with all of these platforms that we talk about, with all of the Wi-Fi, with all of the RSS, with all of the iTunes, with all of the terrestrial, with all of the satellite, with all of the this, with all of the that, with all of the subband and substation and point two and a million and 98 million cable channels and 5 billion ways of video casting and webcasting, all kinds of ways of getting your product out. There's only one problem. You got to have content. You got to have something to say, man. You got to have something to put on that thing. You got to have a show. You got to have a blog. You got to have something worth listening to or reading. Now, we got the same problem.
What about you? Feel that you have that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, if you just talk less.
Oh, woo! Got ya.
You know, I don't need this.
Okay, thank you, Miss Huffington.
Well, Phil, you're the one that said that.
Go get yourself a cigar or whatever.
You were going to say tampon.
Go on.
He chopped you down for that.
Why don't you shut your... Hey,
watch it, will you? I'm walking out of here and then... All right, so that's in the entertainment field. And I got a feeling we got the same problem out in the real world when it comes to all of the different ways we have of communicating. We got texts. We got phones. We got cell phones. We got emails. We got U-mail. We got my mail. We got his mail. We got every kind of way of communicating with each other. And I think we still got the same problem. We got nothing to say. I mean, we're yapping and yapping about this, that, something else. Well, whatever. We're talking about this, that, you know, 99% of this stuff is worthless, meaningless communication. And I think a lot of it tends to make us more confused. It doesn't clarify things for us. It makes us more confused. Bud?
Hey there, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
Very good. Very concise. Great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right.
That must be nice on cue.
Yeah, I point to them. They applaud, you know.
Well, I refuse.
And she's lighting up, and oh, God.
You know something? I like the white owl, even if it smells like it dropped out of a cat's... I like it.
Yeah, there's only one problem, Margaret. Because it smells like it dropped out of a cat's, you know what? The rest of us have to smell it, you know?
Well, that's just, you know... You said I could smoke a cigar in here.
I didn't know you could be smoking... All right. All right, so let's go back here to Don Berman from Channel 19 News. We did have Don on the line with us earlier in the show. He got a little bent out of shape, and I guess I can't blame you, Don. I know that you've got a news program to prepare. I know you have a 10 o'clock report that you're doing. I simply wanted to ask you, not necessarily about Madeleine McCann, because it's a very touchy story, but about people that are missing. You've been covering these news stories for a long time. Madeleine McCann, this little girl that's missing in Portugal...
She's missing in a resort area that the Portuguese use, as well as other international travelers, called Praia da Luz. That's Praia da Luz in the Algarve. And she went missing in May of 2007, as best as we can know. That's all I wanted to mention there. But... I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No. I just wanted to say, so you have been covering these stories for a long time, even though and she's the one that's triggered my question. This case, I should say, has triggered the question. When you're covering stories of people that are missing, you just mentioned in the first hour, you mentioned D.B. Cooper.
Yes. Yes, I mentioned D.B. Cooper, and you got a big laugh out of that. I'm glad you did.
All right, I apologize if we laughed at you, but the point of that, I felt, was you were telling us that you were on to some leads about D.B. Cooper. Now, do you feel, you said you had a lead, excuse me, you said you had a lead.
Do you need some water?
No, I'm fine.
Why don't you have some coffee?
Here, Mr. Henry, here's a coffee.
Thank you very much. Hold on for a minute, okay?
No.
Always at the end of the show. Very good.
Philly, I wanted to ask you, I noticed the coffee you drink is that very black, muddy stuff. What is that?
It's Turkish.
Oh, I love it. I love Turkish coffee, and you're going to have to tell me how you make it.
Well, I use a Turkish...
He's got that little Turkish pot that he uses, Don.
It's a what?
It's a little Turkish pot. It's not Turkish pot, it's a pot.
Oh, it's the pot you... Yes, it's the pot you... you do have a pot to throw it out of then, Phil.
Yeah, that's true. Hold on. I'm sorry, it must be... maybe it's a bronchial thing.
I want to ask you this question, and I don't want you to answer if you're embarrassed, but I'm a newsman, and I'm a curious person. I know you don't smoke cigarettes.
I do not.
Do you smoke marijuana?
No, I do not.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Well, then why are you coughing like that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I was going to ask, why are you coughing like that?
I'm coughing like this because the air has been dry, because I've tended to have a bronchial condition my whole life, although I do get the flu shot so I don't get sick anymore. Excuse me. I can feel that the air being the way it is, it sort of constricts my passageway. It may be an allergy. It could be a lot of things. Maybe it's a pre-asthma thing. But no, I don't smoke pot.
All right, Phil. I mean, I'm not accusing you of anything.
I think it's a pretty... I think it's a very personal question.
Well, Phil, as a talk show host on the talk show, whatever you call this, I think it's something people should know.
Yeah, I think they ought to, Mr. Henry.
Do you smoke pot, bud?
No. No, I do not.
You don't?
No.
Robert?
No, I don't. I drink beer.
Yeah, I drink beer, and I drink... I have a little bit of Jack Daniels every now and again.
Well, if you're asking me to believe that Dickman doesn't smoke dope, you got to be putting me on.
If he says he doesn't, Don, then do you smoke dope?
How do you... Where do you grow a pair big enough to ask me a question like that? I'm a newsman.
I'm asking you with the same pair that you asked me with.
Huh?
I'm asking you, do you smoke pot?
No, you know I don't smoke pot anymore, okay? You know I was in rehab. You know that I had a life that was out of control. You know my story backwards and forwards. I don't think there's anything secret about Don Berman, including some of the most despicable and disgusting things any man could ever involve himself in. It's all out there. Everyone knows it. I survived it. I still have my career intact. Thank you very much. No thanks to you and other people like you.
Well, Don, people had to talk. What was you were involved in was very, very wrong, okay? And it had to be talked about.
All right, are we going to start picking through that again? God almighty.
Don, no one wants to talk about that, but if you're bringing up other people's supposed pot use...
Oh, baby. All right, I'm sorry I brought it up, okay? Can we get off me?
Fine.
Get off you.
You see, Dickman is a problem you're going to have to solve before I come on your program again.
Don, we'll talk about it, okay?
No. He's a problem you've got to solve before I crawl back, before I get down low enough and crawl under the baseboard to get on your radio show again. Capiche?
Yeah, you got it, sport.
Well, look, Phil, don't be all offended.
You know, we're only on the air talking about this, okay?
That is a pretty low thing, Don, and I'm not trying to be facetious.
What is, crawling under a baseboard to get on Phil's show? Well, I mean, I got Dickman there. I don't feel like I'm on a radio show so much as I feel I'm in some sort of a underworld courtroom by way of M starring Peter Lorre. Thank you very much.
That guy has mental problems, okay?
I think so.
He's got mental problems. He needs a doctor. We'll be right back here on the world... I'm just telling you right now. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We want to get Don Berman back on the line. We are talking about his ongoing investigation into where D.B. Cooper is. And if I sound sarcastic and disbelieving, that's precisely what I am. World famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show, and if you check the homepage at philhenryshow.com, you'll see we did post one of the pictures there from Ossian Brown's great book, Haunted Air, and here on Phil TV and HD, I've just sort of popped over to that site. You can see these pictures here, bud.
Yeah, man, look at those. The kids, that's again with the kids with the heads.
No, that's not the one with the heads.
Well, and we're showing these pictures. And here are pictures of people who constructed these Halloween costumes, and they were perfectly, you know, they didn't mean it. They're not trying to scare the hell out of anybody. They just thought, probably they thought they looked cool. Look at that one on the right. What's that?
Man, that guy's face is like the Elephant Man or something.
And here's one. What is this cat? He's dressed all in black. He's got black face. He looks like the specter of death. Here's another one that's...
Do you suppose she's trying to be an Egyptian or something?
I don't know, but little did these poor people know that in 100 years' time or 150 years' time, these clown costumes particularly are frightening. You know, when they get into clown costumes and all they look like are just mutants, it's a way creepy thing. We'll just kind of keep that up there for the time being here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, my God, what is it?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a woman and her kid. What is it?
Well, yeah, that don't look like no kid I ever seen.
Oh, here's the kid with the snout. Oh, geez. All right, on the line with us is Don Berman from Channel 19 News. And we have the Ossian Brown pictures. Don, you see those?
Yes, I do. And again, those are as disturbing as anything I've ever seen. And I also think, oh, my God, what is that?
Look at that. Was that guy trying? What was he trying to be?
You're asking me? I have no idea. Oh, God. God.
Hold on, hold on. That's a little girl with a pumpkin for a head.
Oh, God. I thank God I didn't live back in the 18... Now, here's the one you have on your homepage.
Yeah, this is the one that we put on our homepage, and it shows a group of people dressed in sorcerer. If I saw this walking down the street at me, I'd scream. I'd never stop screaming.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Look at this. These people, did they think this was funny, dressing up like the Ku Klux Klan?
Well, they're not trying to be Klansmen, but they're using...
What in the name of God is that?
It's a kid with a mask. Understand, these folks are not trying anything other than their homemade masks.
Look at this father. He's proud of the fact that his son has a mutant head. Good, and look at this.
That looks like the 1920s to me, and it's a guy in a skeleton costume. All right, let's not get too hung up on this.
Yeah, let's not, because I'm your guest, and you've got this on Phil TV. Oh!
Oh, yeah, that's the kids with the heads, bud.
Yeah, see, I told you. They look like they come from the a time beyond.
Yeah, thank you, bud, for that very clear statement. Anyway, Phil...
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't know. There's nothing that comes out of you, bud, that I understand at all, and that would include, well...
That would include what?
A bowel movement. I mean...
What is with you, man?
They said, was there anything that I understood that came out of Bud?
No, you're the one that said it. Getting back here with Don Berman of Channel 19 News. D.B. Cooper, you've been looking for this guy for the last 40 years.
Well, not quite 40, Phil. I've been looking for D.B. Cooper about 30 years. Ever since I've been in the news business, before that, yes, when I was in college, I was looking very interested in where Mr. Cooper was, what's he doing, how is he living, how is he surviving, where is he? You're trying to tell me that this guy took I don't know how much money, $500,000, and he jumped out of an airplane, and everyone wants me to believe he's dead. Well, that sounds a little too convenient, and it sounds convenient because I believe that if they want me to believe he's dead, he's very much alive, and there are a few people who are sharing in the largesse.
Well, that's a very interesting conclusion. It only lacks one thing, and that would be some evidence of that. I can understand where people would not want Mr. Cooper found because somehow he's spreading the wealth around, maybe paying people off to keep him anonymous. But it fails to address one very key thing, Don. The fact that they found some of that money buried in soil near a lake. It's very possible that D.B. Cooper fell into that lake, that maybe the chute failed, or otherwise it was a catastrophic landing of some kind, or perhaps...
What do you mean, catastrophic landing? What does that mean?
If the chute doesn't open up, Don, what would you call that?
What do you mean the chute didn't open up? The guy jumped out of the jet. Did anybody see the chute fail?
No, I don't think anybody saw the chute fail. But then again, I don't think anybody really... Did anyone pay attention to the chute? Because no one knew when he had left the aircraft. The first indication that D.B. Cooper...
Okay, do you mind if I do this? You're telling me, and I've been on this guy's rear end. I mean, I've been this close to his you-know-what for 30 years. The old joke about if he stopped suddenly, I'd have my nose... Well, that is true. If D.B. Cooper suddenly came to a full stop, my nose would drive right in there. That's how close I am to D.B. Cooper. And
well, if you're that close, then you know where he is.
I am. I'm very, very close. Now, let's start with some facts instead of a lot of hysterical, ridiculous concepts. Now, what is this you're trying to tell me?
About what?
What? You said no one saw the chute open?
My understanding of the D.B. Cooper case...
Let's keep in mind, I'm the reporter here, but I'll humor you. Go ahead.
All right. I mean, my understanding was that the pilot who was interviewed said, we didn't know that he'd left the aircraft until I saw an indicator that the one of the rear emergency exits was indeed open. We left the cockpit. We went back there. He was gone. Mr. Cooper, D.B. Cooper was gone. What happened to our camera?
Which one?
Camera one just went out. D.B. Cooper was gone.
And where did you hear this?
Are you kidding me, Don? It was on the news.
What do you mean, are you kidding me, Don? You're telling me that no one saw... All right, so that's fine. So they didn't see the chute open.
No, they didn't see anything. They didn't know he'd left the aircraft until the... until the pilot saw this indicator that they had an emergency exit open. They went back. He was gone. The chute is gone. The money is gone. D.B. Cooper is gone. And, of course, they didn't see any chute open. So it's possible. I'm not saying they have it. It's possible he had a catastrophic failure of his chute. And he went straight down into and hit the ground or the water or something like that.
Well, don't you think, then, if he hit the water, and he would have hit the water at an amazingly fast speed. He's coming from God knows how many thousands of feet up. How fast do you think he'd be going when he hit the water?
I have no idea.
All right, well, I'll tell you. He probably was going, hundreds of miles an hour. And he's got this money... which is weighting him down. So let's say he's going 1,000 miles an hour. He's going to hit the water, and there's not going to be anything left but his clothing, the chute, and a pair of shoes.
What about his body?
The body is not even going to... It will vaporize. It will absolutely... There's nothing. You'll see shoes, and you'll see the parachute, maybe, and a pair of pants. And
what about the money?
Well, they found the money.
Okay, so why do you think he's still alive?
Because they didn't find any pants, did they? And they didn't find...
Well, Don, the pants and the shoes might have sunk.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I believe D.B. Cooper's alive. I believe he's out there laughing right now, listening to this broadcast. It's entirely possible. And he's laughing so hard he's getting sick into a pan. That's what I really think.
All right, Don.
And every time you say, all right, Don, I can tell that in your mind you're thinking, boy, this guy's a winner.
Well, what you're saying is very difficult to believe, Don. First of all, you have no evidence this man is alive.
I have the evidence of the fact that the guy got money and jumped out of an airplane, okay?
You do not have evidence that he survived that jump.
Why wouldn't he survive the jump? If he wants a parachute, I'm assuming he knows how to use one.
Not necessarily.
What? Why not? Why wouldn't he?
Because some guys are so desperate to make a plan work, you could cook that idea up and say, I know what I'll do. I will jump out of an airplane with a parachute. Okay, fine. So maybe he took a couple of lessons. Maybe he took one lesson. Maybe he, for 6 months he trained. You don't necessarily have to be an experienced skydiver, in other words, to, and we're going to go back on a regular view, to to want to jump out of an aircraft when you've got all that money.
Well, I'm not buying that at all. And if it was a catastrophic failure, the screaming that you would have heard, that wind alone would have carried the screaming for miles.
What does that mean?
Just what I said. If the chute doesn't open, if I'm him, and I think you probably would be the same way, Phil.
Hold on for a minute. The screaming would carry for miles. That's very, very interesting. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back after this with Don Berman and D.B. Cooper and missing persons kinds of things, as says.
I'm telling you right now, all the research that I've done has been that, are we on the air? Hello, are we on the air?
It's the Phil Henry Show here, and we've got Don Berman on the line. Don Berman from Channel 19 News, the Emmy Award-winning newsman, as we discuss missing persons. And this really started as a conversation about Madeleine McCann, the little girl that went missing at a Portuguese resort a number of years ago, has not been found. The parents have done their level best to keep it in the news, to keep it in the attention. In the attention sphere, if you will, of news media and the general public. And today and yesterday, Portuguese police, with the assent and the agreement of British police, have reopened the investigation. So that's good news for their folks, for her folks. And I shouldn't comment, so I won't.
Yeah, you just say she's not alive.
Why are you... He said don't comment.
But I didn't want to say that on the air.
Well, I think it's Bud's... that is a journalistic instinct. I'm not saying, Bud, that you're a journalist. But that is a journalistic instinct to tell the truth and not lie to the audience, Phil. And
I'm not lying to the audience.
Well, if you don't think the girl will be found alive...
Can we not get... I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about Madeleine McCann at all. I use that as an entree to the discussion of your ongoing investigation as to where D.B. Cooper is.
But, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know that you look askance, and I know that you look with a great deal of skepticism on my search for D.B. Cooper and my belief that D.B. Cooper is very much alive. And, as I said, were he listening to your broadcast tonight with me on it, to some of the things that we're talking about, he would be laughing so hard he may never... he may never walk again. I'm serious. He would rupture something, because what's happening is that we're going further and further away from where he really is. You're telling me that D.B. Cooper had a catastrophic failure of his parachute.
I'm not saying that that's for sure.
All right, but that's your concept.
Right.
All right, he had a catastrophic failure of his parachute, which means he hit the water, if he hit that lake, at around 1,000 miles an hour. No human body is going to even... You won't even find... The body will turn to powder.
How do you know that?
Who said that?
It's Margaret, Don. How do you know that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret. How do I know that?
Yeah, how do you know that?
Well, are you kidding me? If you're going... it stands to reason. 1,000 miles an hour...
Well, how do you know he's going 1,000 miles an hour?
Give me a break, will you?
Don, there's no doubt that a body flying from, flying through the air from that altitude is going to be going at a very rapid pace. But we don't know the exact miles per hour, do we?
I don't know, but I can well imagine. I'll bet you any amount, I'll bet you a year's salary that anybody that falls out of an airplane at 25, I don't know, how high up was the plane?
I don't think the plane was any higher. They brought it down to a level that I think meant they didn't have to have the cabin pressurized. I think, in other words, that he opened up the emergency exit, and there was no pressure loss or anything, so they were down below the oxygen level, I guess. Maybe 10,000 feet, something like that?
10,000 feet? Can you jump from that high?
You know, Don, you're the guy that's doing the investigation.
Don, you should know all of these answers. You're the one that's doing the story.
I just asked Can you jump from that high?
Yeah, you can jump from that high. You can jump from a lot higher.
How do you know?
Well, look, are you the reporter or am I?
I'm doing the report, but so far what you people are telling... Look, am I interviewing you? Yes. Are you interviewing... You're interviewing me? Yes. But I'm also interviewing you. I'm taking the opportunity to interview you because I'm on your program.
Okay.
And I'm asking you, how high...
Am I an expert at skydiving?
I'm asking... You said that you came up with some theory about this guy, Cooper, hitting the water and what? Surviving?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said he would not survive, and you agree, because you said his body would turn to powder, which I don't necessarily agree with.
You agree, but you don't agree.
I'm saying they would find some evidence of this man's body were he on the surface, for instance, if he'd landed on the land somewhere. They did find money there. Some people think that he might have been caught up in the trees. Again, if there was a failure of that parachute, then he would not have survived the fall, not even remotely. If, however, he survived, perhaps injured, because you got to explain why there's money laying around. Why is there money laying around?
That's a very, very easy thing to explain. He wants to throw people off the trail, so he drops a wad of 20s.
What? The guy's not going to do that.
Excuse me, Mr. Walter Bud Dickman Cronkite, how do you know?
Well, you... So, how much money did he leave?
Why don't you swallow your drool and...
Don, it's not going to get you anywhere making fun of him. I mean, you're saying that he threw money out on the ground to throw off people?
Yes, to throw off people.
How much money did they find?
I don't know. How much?
You...
Don, you don't know a thing about this case, and you're... How long have you been working on it?
I know enough to know that if that guy came to a full stop...
Yeah, you'd have your nose right up D.B. Cooper's. That's how close you are, but you don't know how much money this guy... How much money was left?
A few thousand, some are a few hundred, I don't know. I mean, there were wads of cash. I'm saying it's entirely... I think he left the money there so that you and I... No, D.B. Cooper was very smart. Let's face it. He may be one of the smartest people, one of the smartest criminals that this world has ever known. Think about it. This guy jumped out of an airplane. It was unheard of.
You know what? It hasn't been tried since, either.
Well, now, if you try to hijack an airplane, they're going to take you, and they're going to beat your face into the drink cart until there's nothing left of it.
No, you're talking post-9/11, but I mean, since D.B. Cooper did what he did, I don't think anybody ever tried that, did they?
I don't know. But you try to hijack a plane now, and they'll open up the emergency exit, all right, and throw you out. And maybe that's what happened to D.B. Cooper. That's another possibility that I have looked into.
Which is what?
The crew overwhelmed him and threw him out.
Well, they would have told the news reporters, wouldn't they?
No, not necessarily, because that's cold-blooded murder.
No, it isn't. He's hijacked their aircraft. They're looking to get control of the aircraft back.
Well, they had control of the aircraft. You know, they were at the controls of the aircraft.
No, they were not. This is a guy who had who was holding them hostage by means of some threat. I think he said there was a bomb or something someplace. So the people in this aircraft had no choice but to do what he told them to do. And at least they felt threatened, and so they did not have control of that aircraft.
Well, all right, so they didn't have control of the aircraft. They grabbed him and they threw him out. But I'm just saying, the authorities would have said, well, why didn't you sit on him? I got a look at one of the flight attendants as they came off the plane, and I say this with a great deal of respect, but she was a very big girl.
So that means what? She could have sat on him?
You know what, Margaret? You use what you got. And
you know what? Everything you've said here has been...
Well, hold on. Let me guess. Has been a whole load of horse dung.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I come on your program to get insulted. I come on your program to be made fun of. I come on your program to try to give you a little bit of news. And what do? You turn it around on me.
Don, we were going to talk about missing people, missing culprits, missing children. We're going to talk about these cold cases. And you've been working on D.B. Cooper for how long? And you're telling me this guy jumped out of an airplane. Maybe he vaporized when he hit the ground. Maybe he left the money there. Maybe the crew overwhelmed him and threw him out. This is a new one. I've never heard that one before.
Well, you heard it first from Don Berman.
Well, that's the truth. whether or not I'll hear it again.
I can guarantee you. Oh, really? So you think I'm too embarrassed to say it on the air?
Yeah.
Watch me. Tonight at 11, I'll say it.
Tonight on your 11 o'clock report.
That's right.
I can't wait to see that.
Well, don't worry about it, pal. It's not that tough. I believe that the crew of that aircraft finally had enough of this guy and his horse dung, and they turned around, went back, picked him up, and threw his ass out of the aircraft. Now, I mentioned to you one other thing, and I'd like to... the fact that this guy, D.B. Cooper, was... If you get thrown out of an airplane, or if your chute fails to open, what are you going to do, Phil?
If I get thrown out of an airplane...
If you get thrown out of an airplane, or your chute fails to open, what will you do?
Well, I think I know what you're going to say.
What?
You'd scream.
Exactly. You'd scream. And you'd scream like you never screamed before. You'd be screaming because there's supposed to be a parachute. I don't have one. The ground is getting closer. I'm pretty much dead. I'm going to hit the ground at the speed at Mach 3. You know, I mean, literally, you break the speed. What happens to a human body when the human body breaks the speed of sound? So you're going to be screaming. No one heard any scream. That's why I think your theory on the parachute not opening...
Get out of here, will you? You don't have to... Even if you're screaming, going at that speed, at that elevation, who's going to hear you?
Are you kidding? You're cutting through the crisp, clean, northwestern air. It was a beautiful day.
Okay, I got to take a break, Don. It's been great. Good luck on the 11 o'clock news.
I'll say it. I swear to God I'll say it.
You're going to say what? That the human body vaporizes?
No, that you scream. I don't know what I'm going to say. Whatever I said I'd say, I'll say it.
All right, thank you. Don Berman, Emmy Award winner.
Well, he did win an Emmy.
Yeah, Mr. Berman won a couple of Emmys.
You know what? I don't know how. I don't know how, and I don't know why. So what are you going to do if you're traveling at that elevation? You'd scream, of course. How come no one heard the scream? That's why I don't think there was a catastrophic... failure of the chute.
Is that what you think?
No, I'm quoting this idiot.
He doesn't think that. He's quoting Don.
Oh.
What do you guys think?
I think D.B. Cooper is a mystery that we'll never solve, and I think he is probably hiding out somewhere.
No, I think he's as dead. He's dead, dead, dead. He's all messed up.
Yeah, I agree with Margaret. I think he's dead.
I do, too. And you think he's hiding out?
Yeah, I think he's hiding out in a barn or in a shed somewhere.
Where?
In Oregon.
He's hiding out in a barn or a shed in Oregon for 40 years?
Yeah, there was Japanese that hid it out way longer than that. You even told me on a World War II.
Yeah, I guess there were. All right, thank you very much, Don. It was fantastic. You are a man among men. World famous Phil Henry Show here. We'll be back. This is our final segment coming up on... Yes, there were Japanese soldiers that hid out after World War II. Somehow, I just don't see D.B. Cooper having that kind of commitment. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and Friday morning it is, and then Friday night, and then, hey, man, we're getting through October. I mean, wasn't it just summertime and the living's easy? Thank you very much, Don Berman, for your participation in our program, the Emmy Award winner, and D.B. Cooper. D.B. Cooper's gone, man. He's dead, 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 man. He is dead, just like Red, baby. So that was the impetus, which was this reopening of the case of this little girl. And we certainly hope... God, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, Bud, I told you I got mad at you for saying what I was saying during the break, but you're right. I mean, it's just all of the experience in the world. Although a lot of these children are taken and are kept alive because somebody, some weird, twisted, lonely, messed up human being wants a child. They want a baby and they want to raise a child and they just steal one. I mean, this happens. And I am hoping that that's the case
with this little girl. Officials alert foreign services that Snowden has documents on their cooperation with the U.S. U.S. officials are alerting some foreign intelligence services that documents detailing their secret cooperation with the United States have been obtained by former National Security Agency contractor Eric Snowden, according to government officials. Contractor. Snowden, U.S. officials said, took tens of thousands of documents, some of which contained sensitive material about collection programs against adversaries such as Iran, Russia, and China. Some refer to operations that in some cases involve countries not publicly allied with the United States. So in other words, there are people spying inside what could be characterized as hostile or unfriendly countries. They're spying on our behalf, and guess who has the goods on them? This guy, Eric Snowden. Boy, wouldn't that make you feel safe?
Well, what do you think, Phil? He's going to compromise?
Yes, I think he's. That's exactly what he says he's going to do. Who knows what he's already done? Who knows who's dead already? This guy is sitting over there in wherever it is. He's in Russia. Who knows what he shared? Do you think for 5 seconds that this guy's sitting on his dead ass in Russia, that the Russians haven't asked him for what... you know, it's very nice to have you here, Mr. Snowden, and we're certainly... extremely happy, you know. Well, thank you. Yeah, so, you know, we don't just have you because you're good-looking. So let's see it, man. Well, I thought you got... No, there's only one reason why we've got you here and why we're giving you asylum. We want to see what you got. Otherwise, we'll kick your ass out of here. So if what we think has happened, you got Eric Snowden. Forget about whether the U.S. is spying on Angela Merkel's cell phone. Forget about whether they cracked her cell phone to find out how much schnitzel she's getting for dinner tonight.
Schnitzel.
Well, that's very flip.
Well, no, I mean, I'm telling you the truth. America spying on the cell phone of the Prime Minister of Germany, that's one thing. This rogue jackass, this Snowden, a criminal, you know, he's violated federal law. He has information on agents, on people gathering intelligence for this country inside of Russia, China, Iran, countries that have hostile governments at, you know, in the very best of times in Russia and China, maybe just benign. And he's sitting there in Moscow, and I guarantee you, that the Russians have not only asked for these documents, but they've been given them.
Well, why do you think he just turned that over to them?
He's sitting there in their country. They're giving him asylum. They're allowing him to sit on his dead ass. He's not just over there. This isn't a glamour opportunity. He's not over there getting his picture taken for 17 magazine. He's not laying on a beach over there. This guy is over there cooperating, believe me when I tell you. The process of informing officials in capital after capital about the risk of disclosure is delicate. In some cases, one part of the cooperating government may not know about the collaboration, while others, such as foreign ministries, may not, or may know, and they may not, the official said. The documents, if disclosed, could compromise operations. The notifications came as the Obama administration is scrambling to placate allies after allegations that the NSA has spied on foreign leaders, including Angela Merkel of Germany. The reports have forced the administration to downplay operations targeting friends while also attempting to preserve other programs that depend on provisional partners. In either case, trust in the United States may be compromised. This guy Snowden, at the end of the day, will have probably gotten people killed. And that's about all the good that he's done. He's probably going to get somebody killed that we'll never hear about, that we'll never know about, that will never be reported, that the American people will never... Some foreign person, some maybe even native-born American, I don't know, somebody's going to lose their life, and they'll just anonymously go down in front of a wall someplace in the dungeon there at Lubyanka prison in Russia, and they'll get carted off, put in a bag, and thrown in an incinerator, and you'll never know that they ever even were alive. Thanks to this jackball who's been given interviews, got his kisser in the paper, and he's the darling of all of the so-called Beau Brummel, countercultural, anti-administration, anti-establishment jagoffs in America.
Hey. Very good, Phil.
Thank you.
You're going to run for president, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, sure. That's my inauguration speech. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'll kick things off with. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence is handling the job of informing the other intelligence. In one case, for instance, the files contain information about a program run from a NATO country against Russia that provides valuable intelligence for the U.S. Air Force and Navy.
Well, why would we spy on Russia? They're our friends.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because Putin said that by 2020 they want to be the world's number one manufacturer of aircraft. Now, that may not sound like a terrible thing to you, but you're not in the aircraft industry, are you?
Who are you talking to?
Just people, you know. You know, there are a hell of a lot of people employed in that line of work in the United States. And so maybe we want to know what's up in Russia when it comes to things like that and other things. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, booby. All right, so what's on tap, man? I love it when people say, what's on tap?
Well, what is on tap?
I'll tell you what's on tap. Newcastle Brown Ale.
Yeah.
That's what's on tap for me, man. Some Don Julio's on tap. By the way, speaking of that, we are going to be, as you know, a guest narrator on the brilliant Comedy Central show Drunk History. So if you have an interest in history and you have an interest in a drunk telling you about history, that would be me. We'll let you know. I'm serious.
Drunk? Now, what is this Drunk History? You read something drunk?
No, you give the history. I'm going to be reading from memory. I will be lecturing, if you will. The history of an individual drunk on Drunk History. We'll let you know when that is on. And until we meet again tomorrow night, you guys, at 7, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Goodbye, girlfriend.
That's Bobby Dooley's out.
Well, I'm using it because she forgot to use it.
Oh, my God.
Batman sitting on a little stool takes a...